Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening on our radio show. This is Jan. I know that many of you are missing hearing Almeen's voice. I think you can tune into her tonight on another radio show, Alan Seinfeld, New Realities. And tonight on our show, we're going to have myself. I'm the contact person for Almeen's online institutes and courses, and Rohir, who is, I know you all have all heard him on various other radio shows. He's the technical support director for all of Almeen's online institutes and courses, among other things. He also produces her videos and has a lot to do with the artistic design of our websites and our online courses. So welcome, Rohir.
Thank you.
Also, I'd like to introduce and welcome Ephraim Vahel. He's the sound producer of Almeen's music and works with her very intensively producing personal sound elixirs that are used with curriculum and a lot of her other material. He also manages her Twitter, which he's done quite a fantastic job of doing, and we're going to talk to him about that and some of the new features on it, because he's managed to get over 9,000 subscribers, and that's in English, Persian, French, Greek, Spanish. Is Italian also in there, from Bael? I always forget one or two of the languages. There's so many.
Not yet, but soon.
Okay, soon. I must be having a psychic moment here. But welcome, Ephraim Bael. It's very nice to have you here.
Thank you, Jan. It's nice to be on board. I appreciate it.
Great. Well, we are all really very enthusiastic about a lot of new opportunities that we have to offer Almeen's teachings to her students. And I'm going to ask, first of all, I think we're here to speak to that. We have two new courses coming up. One is in January 1st. That's called The Alchemy of the One. That's an one-month online course. And then the second one is Interstellar Mysticism. That is going to start February 1st of 2010, and that's a three-month course. Rohir, what I'd really like to ask you is, I know you have a very good grasp of the depth of Almeen's material, and I'd like you to explain what we can expect in both of these courses, if you could.
Okay, well, let's start with the Alchemy course that starts January 1st. That's the Alchemy of the One. I think we were to distill it down to its essence, it's essentially a one-month preparation to receive the Key Vesta, which is the a tool for manifestation, a manifestation device. Of course, no one really knows. I mean, Key Vesta means breath of the divine. Obviously, not many people are familiar with that term because it's, I believe, Lemurian, but we can also translate it as high alchemy. The Key Vesta is essentially a device of high alchemy, wherein in the 1 month, or let's say 3 weeks, to preparation to receive it, the participant essentially through exposure to the material raises its light and frequency and hopefully bodily purity as well. And, the degree to which this is achieved will in turn determine the degree to which this tool of manifestation can be wielded, successfully. So, you know, the first 3 weeks, there's a lot of sort of cherry-picked, entries from Almeen's diaries over the years, which, and I don't mean the online, not so much the online, the blog, but from before that as well. And The primary function of it is simply to demonstrate to the reader what is possible in terms of a life of, you know, walking between the worlds and the hidden realms and, yeah, miracles. So I think it's a fairly laid-back ride for 3 weeks, and I think there's actually one ceremonial technique somewhere in between that. But other than that, it's really all driving towards the Kivesta, and that happens in 1 month. And we do kind of call this course the fourth month of the alchemy course, because it's also a course of the Academy of Alchemy, which is now in the first in the third month of its first course, science of tools.
I didn't mean to run over you there. Sorry about that. I was trying to jump in and just clarify. Anyone can take this course, though, this Alchemy of One course. They don't have to have been on any other course. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So people can sign up for that without having taken any other courses or really been to any other class. I wanted to interject also that Rohir very, very nicely put it, that it was sort of a nice ride up to the fourth week of the course, that possibly it wouldn't be such hard work. And by that, I think maybe we could elaborate a little bit. A lot of the work in the courses is, all of the work in the courses is very personal, and you're integrating all of this information, and it's personal, yet it's so deeply mystical and profound that it's almost defies explanation. But so many people write to us and send emails, or, you know, we speak to them in classes or whatever it might be, and share on the radio show, The Gathering of the Lightworkers, share the power of their experiences in these online courses. So I just wanted to share that. Can you tell us a little bit about the Interstellar Mysticism course? I think that's going to have a bit of a different interactive element with Almeen's audio contributions. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. But, I mean, I think the best way to sort of connect this alchemy and then the interstellar mysticism, essentially sort of elaborate on the point that you just made. Like, I mean, what we're saying about the laid back and contrasted with hard work, yeah, just to put that within context, is simply that the first three courses, and a lot of students have participated in all three, have been much more, yeah, hard work, much more, have been very intense, simply, because it's like a sort of, I guess you could say, like sort of this quickening of growth, and then courses that sort of come after that, even though you don't necessarily have to have followed anything before that, but just sort of the theme of it becomes more, you can be more in a passive, receptive mode, and it's, I guess you could say easier. And so really we mention this primarily for people who are already familiar with these courses and are, wondering whether it's always going to be sort of as intense as it has been.
Yeah. If they're up for it, can I do it one more time?
Yeah, well, it is. I mean, of course it is. I mean, it is kind of like a necessary stage that you sort of go through. I mean, obviously we don't want to think in terms of linear trajectory, but there is still something to be said for having this phase first where a lot of clearing is done, and then it gets more expanded and very sort of more receptive. But anyway, the how that ties in with the interstellar mysticism is that that is really going to sort of embody this sort of new formula that we're currently transitioning towards, and Alchemy of the One in January is pretty much in the middle of that, in that transition, but moving towards a format where, the medium or the sort of the way the information is disseminated or downloaded into the participant, kind of like on the next level. So far, everything has been a lot with, of course, there's still going to be sigillary and images and symbols and that kind of thing, the visual tools, but there's going to be more an accent on the frequency, on sound. So we have sound healing, sound elixirs that, are part of the star races and then also of the hidden kingdoms for the yoga system that comes in month two, the yoga to restore the song of life to man. And there's going to be a lot more of guided meditation. So it's kind of like we're using more of a, or Almin will be using more of an increased broadband where a lot of data is essentially disseminated through her voice as opposed to just text and the visual. So I think that's in essence what the Interstellar Mysticism course is going to be about in terms of its practice. And of course, in terms of the material it's about, it's very much about maybe we should ask Ephraim Vail, but I believe it's very much about unification with the star races, so to speak.
I agree. That's
well,
a perfect introduction.
I'm all ears.
Perfect introduction for you to share that with us, Ephraim Vail. I know you're working on, I know you have been working a lot on personal sound elixirs because that has been such a huge such of huge importance to people who have purchased them. Can you, before you get started on that, on the sound elixirs for the courses, can you just give us a little explanation for people who are new listeners how the personal sound elixirs work and then expand on that by, you know, going into some of the more advanced course material and how the sound frequencies and elixirs work with that?
Okay, yes. You might
the double whammy there.
I'm used to that, you know, being so close to Almin, working with her on a daily basis. Never know what's going to come up next. You know, sometimes it's like, hey, Paul, you know, we've got a show in a minute. I hope you're prepared.
heard that.
Yeah, sure. You know, we get used to this kind of fluidity situation, staying ever fluid. I think it's kind of interesting to see life just unfold on the spur of the moment continuously, which is the way of life, working with Almin. Now, regarding the alchemical sound elixirs, you may say that after doing all this immaculate study, you know, the alchemy courses and the I Am courses, the Institute of Human Potential courses, they are quite demanding on the left brain focus. And I mean, it's fascinating stuff. You gravitate towards this material because it's just so exciting. It's the unknowable that's been brought to the surface through these daily curricula. The sound elixirs have the value of actually sort of switching off the left brain, you might say, bypassing the mind and going straight to the heart with teaching. So it's a great kind of tag team between the left brain. I mean, it's not totally left brain because the material itself is posited towards the infinite, which is, you know, you might say that the quality of the institutes is right brain technology, but it's a left brain technique. So the sound elixirs are actually bringing one into an equilibrium. And essentially what we're looking at with the alchemical sound elixirs, you know, whether they're coming from the hidden realms or from the star races, we're getting a lot of assistance on Earth as we're going through this massive ascension process. The combining of what is known to mystics as white light frequencies with black light frequencies, that which is illusion-based, such as lack, lack of abundance, aging, disease. These things are cancelled out just by listening to them, or even playing them in the house. And you know, if you've got children playing and you're pottering around and you're just doing your daily rituals, just have these elixirs playing. I mean, they are harmonizing your whole environment. You could actually leave them playing in your house and go out for the day, go out for the weekend. They're still doing the work. They're eating up excess of black light. They're harmonizing this imbalance between these two polarities of light. And essentially, they're giving way to ridding our lives of debris, density, illusion, and allowing us to see clearly into the source of the infinite. Now, I think...
Very well said.
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah. Now, what has been keeping me sort of pretty busy over the past few months is the personal sound elixirs, which Almeen is creating. These are custom-made on the fly. You know, we come in the morning, we fire up the computers, the preamps, my Neumann U87 German microphone, and, you know, I just open up the pathways to record, and we start, you know, intuitively and instantaneously bringing in the sound elixirs. There's no preamble. It is totally spontaneous. It's channeled directly from source. And there are times where angels are coming in with assistance with the personal sound elixirs as well. It's a really thrilling process because there's nothing which can be expected. It's just purely just coming from an infinite and instant source, you might say. Now, the interstellar mysticism, we are structuring, how can I put this into Earth language now? quite often when I'm working with Almeen, I'm so expanded, it's hard to actually give a definition of what's going on in this process. You know, I've learned how to work with all this equipment, but not be involved with the engineering, old age engineering. You know, just having a regard to the equipment, the pathways, the preamps, and things I was talking about. It's really just looking at the magic that's coming through, you might say. We have recently had the elixirs being channeled from the Pleiades, from Antares, from Sirius C, from Andromeda, the Carsana, which is a race from Andromeda. Lyra, of course, there's another race from Andromeda called the Barugala, and they're bringing their sounds and tones in, very fascinating tones and scales I've never heard before. There's the Orion, the Amphipabian, like the amphibian, the benign frog races from Orion. They're bringing in beautiful sounds. I mean, incredible sounds. I've mentioned this on radio just the other night, that I have been shown how to channel this information spontaneously. You know, before I'd come into a studio with a kind of agenda, I'd know what to do, but now I sort of don't know what to do, but then I'd get exactly what needs to be got at by instantaneous song writing or sound elixir creating, you see. So when I was doing Orion, I felt like there was a huge starcraft above where we are now. I mean, it's every time I go into this track, there's a sense of something colossal. I mean, the Orion have always had the symbolism of power. It's not always been dark and dangerous because there are many races out in that huge nebulae, which we call Orion. There are many, many different star races. But they're all pretty powerful. And the ones that we've been channeling, you will be able to hear these sound elixirs, hopefully in the coming weeks. But it's it's earth-shattering stuff. It's amazing. It really is, you know.
And
beyond that, we've got...
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we have Alpha Centauri and Arcturus and Ursa Major coming through. Sorry, Jan.
Sorry. Just jumping on top of you there. Thank you for adding those others in there. My question was, when we listen to these, it's just really bringing the frequency of these star races to us. And so, again, like we don't have to understand it intellectually or whatever. We can just feel this frequency in the music. Is that correct?
Yes, it's a direct pathway to the heart. It's the heart mind or the heart brain which is understanding this. And I think really you're understanding 90% more than you could if you were just using an intellectual approach to the stars. I mean, if you go outside and, you know, it's evening here in Newport. If I go out and stand in the garden looking into the sky, I'm only seeing about 1% of the electromagnetic spectrum through these tiny slits of sensors. You know, there's just a tiny portion of what's out there is visible through Hubble, which is amazing. But, you know, actually it's still looking back into the past, of course. The rest just cannot be... it cannot be reached by the intellect. It can only be through the heart, through the development of compassion, of love, praise, and gratitude, which might sound a strange premise for knowledge, but that is where the full glory of cosmic knowledge is going to be gained. Is through letting go of the mind, letting go of what we think we know, opening up the heart. It sounds easy. It is easy. But somehow we have an aversion to it. And the star races and the angelic kingdoms and all these other kingdoms, they're helping us pull away from form, from drowning in worshipping form, if you like. They're helping us pull away. And they're giving us all these gifts, these techniques. You know, Ruggiya was talking about Kivesta before, this instant manifestation device. The Irasattva Yoga, which has just recently come through, which is a beautiful set of yoga-like asanas, where you don't have to stretch and bend as much as the traditional yogis and fakirs do, but it's a way of quietening the dictates of the mind so that the heart can finally be heard, you might say.
And that combines postures, also some tapping, and then as you're doing each portion of the program, it's like about an hour and 15 minutes, and as you're doing each portion, each asana or each tapping, you're listening to a sound elixir that goes with it. So it's, again, this effortless, well, not entirely effortless for some of these postures, if you haven't done them for a bit, I might say. but it is a huge way of grace to accomplish these tasks. And one, this may sound kind of weird, but when we were doing these yoga postures and even being in class, in our last class in Newport, I was having the experience of all the saliva just, I mean, I felt like I was drooling. I was drooling. I was sitting there kind of like went, you know, it was just so weird. And I said, I mean, this is sort of unusual, but is there some reason this would be going on? And the fact that it's sort of a little unseemly to be drooling, she was saying that it was the opening of these gateways. So it was just a really practical way of seeing how this was actually happening in our physical bodies and, of course, you know, on all these different levels. But I also wanted to just add about the personal elixirs and the 18 sound elixirs that you can purchase those. You can go to School of Arcana, the store on the schoolofarcana.org, to purchase a personal sound elixir and also a translation of that. From Almeen, and as Paul said, that's just created on the spur of the moment for you. And then also there is available the 18 sound elixirs, which are beautiful, and just each one is so different, and they just put you through a gamut of experience listening to those. And they also have Balvaspata that comes with them as part of one of the packages. I wanted to ask you, Paul, thank you for all the information about that frequency-based work that you're doing with Almeen. I'd like to ask you about the Wisdom Twitter. You have put a lot of effort into making that a very big draw for a lot of people, and I've really enjoyed lately being on there and seeing the how is it called, the walk through the old growth forest or something like that.
Okay, that's Words of Wisdom from the Old Growth Forest.
Thank you.
Where Efrain Vale is asking Almeen questions. Would you like me to press on with that?
I would like to. I've enjoyed looking at it. I mean, it's visually very pleasing, and it's also hugely important for lots of people to tune into daily. So, yeah, please tell us about that some more.
Okay. Thanks, John. For those that don't know much about Twitter, despite its silly name, it's actually the most buzzed about social media platform on Earth. You can't beat the bird kingdom for getting a message around the world as news breaks. It's real. I mean, this is what Twitter's all about. As news breaks, Twitter will have the scoop before CNN, BBC, ABC, Reuters, before they've even left the building. If it's happening and somebody's got a laptop and they've got a Twitter account, they can just get in there in less than 140 characters. They can just say what they're feeling, what they're seeing, what they've picked up, a piece of music or an experience that they've had. It's just out there instantly for others to, you know, without the screens and the barriers of media control, which is great because, you know, we've had our history sequestered away for thousands of years. I mean, basically, I don't like to have somebody sitting on top of my history, thank you very much, and, you know, places like the Vatican, they're saying that we've got stuff here which is dodgy, so you shouldn't really see it. It's for your own good. Well, I'd like to find out for myself. So, you know, I find that Twitter's just so energizing because it allows people anywhere to express themselves and to be who they are. What we have at the moment with Twitter, I've created the main account, which is Almeen Wisdom. So if somebody goes on to, if somebody Googles twitter.com, somebody just arrives on, if they go to the website twitter.com and then they put / Almeen Wisdom, they will arrive on Almeen Wisdom's timeline, you see. And this is where we're giving daily insight from various sources. Most of the material is coming from straight from her heart, from things that are emerging, snippets from upcoming courses, pieces from her books, and also little sound bites from sound elixirs that we're creating. I kind of keep it jazzed up, so it's always moving. Those different features. And we've created some foreign language switches as well, Jan. You know, you've probably seen a few of those.
I have.
We have Almeen Sabia in Spanish, is managed by Christina Trevino. And then we have Sagesse Almeen in French and Erfan or Erfane Almeen in Persian. And they're managed by Lale Ameri. We have quite a new timeline in Russian called Mudrost Almeen. It's managed by Sergey, and I think it's Jill. And
yes,
there's already like 550 followers on that account, which is cool.
Have
the sort of the fertile soil in Russia now is going to, it's starting to sprout spirituality. You know, Anastasia was one phenomena out there, and they're looking further. You know, the Russians are really curious about ascension as well, you see. I have to mention we have a group Twitter, which is being managed by Kostas, and that's called Sophia Almeen. And I have a feeling that Sophia is a Greek, assimilation of Isis, which I think Almeen is very much connected to in any case, you see. So, we have also a German one that's going to go out, the the beginning of 2010. That's going to be managed by Renata Chanel. And I think that's going to be called Armin Weisheit, which means wisdom, of course, you know. Have we got time? I could tell you a bit more about this, Jan, if you want.
I also wanted to mention when you were saying how interesting it is, you have done a really good job of doing that. It's like it'll have a little bit of just all kinds of different things thrown in there. One of the things I really enjoy is the interdimensional photography that's been on there, and a lot of our students around the world and people in general are finding that it's very much easier to capture these sorts of images. And so I just wanted to point that out. That was a place that people could go to see those, along with what's the name of our website that has a lot of interdimensional photos too? Sorry, it's escaping me at the moment.
Aruba Perino is one of them, and Life of Miracles.
Life of Miracles, yeah, has some. Yep. Thank you very much. I wanted to ask
Go ahead. We don't have visual scans, so it's kind of hard to have conversational moments, which I prefer. You know, it's great interaction like this. I've created a couple of themes. Just working backwards, I created a new theme last night, which is the poetry of the star races, interstellar poetry, which is part of what's coming out with interstellar mysticism, which Ruggier and you are very busy with, of course, and Hongan, and some other masters. I can't get all the names live right now, but maybe next time I can give them all a mention. So this is a kind of taste of what's coming from the stars in the way of poetry, and it's just absolutely so wonderful. I created a rough graphic, the first one went out last night with one of these interstellar poems. And I'll just read you a couple now, which came through from, this is a translation of Venusian poetry from Hathor poetry. You know, the Hathors, they absolutely left a huge impression during the Egyptian times. Let's see if I can read this without any stuttering. The first one is, in the night stillness, I hear a call. The earth's wails cry out. When will man awaken in oneness? There's another one here.
Nice.
From an ocean, only the purest eyes see. Waves run with eager steps to embrace the shore. And another one, if I may. Like sand that I hold in my hand, past moments slip away. Only love remains. And I'll just leave you with one more here, because this looks really, really cool. I release my memories like perfume on the wind, free from time, in ever new permanence, within the ocean of life I dwell. So that's a piece from the Venusian poetry. Yeah, and that will be one of the Twitter themes in the coming weeks. There's two other themes which I'm running at the moment as well, which is the magic gossip from the seer's owl. And this will,
I like that name.
Owls really know how to gossip, I tell you. I mean, they really see everything behind the scenes. They can see in the dark, of course. They can see all the magic stuff that goes on. But now is the time to come out and say right that, you know, miracles are commonplace. And as you were mentioning before, Jan, you know, there's all the interdimensional photography that's gone out on Aruba Farina and Life of Miracles. We're going to post more of that on the magic gossip from the Seer's Owl. So this is where Armin's going to be less shy about the miracles, because of the thinning of the grids around the Earth. The interdimensional photography is becoming much more to the fore. And so are sightings of the mystical beings, and also of starcraft from the star races. Mm-hmm. So it's a great time to, it's kind of disclosure in different ways, you might say.
It's a huge personal experience too, and a cosmic experience of our oneness. You know, it's as Almin has taught in the online courses, the human race is the parent race, if you want to call it that, and the star races came from us. So it's more or less as all the pieces are being called back home, and we're becoming the unified one being. So it's really like a homecoming for us to all be in, integrated and in oneness together. It's a very beautiful experience. I wanted to share, when you were talking about the magic, we tease and call sometimes when we have class Harry Potter school after the Harry Potter movies, but I was at Almeen's home about a month ago, and I walked past her bedroom, and I heard her in there speaking to her daughter, Jaylene, and, you know, saying something to her, which I could clearly hear. I went downstairs to the kitchen. I walked in the kitchen, and I was sort of, you know, thinking some thoughts and just sort of waking up. So I looked up, and I see Almeen standing there talking on the phone, but it kind of didn't register because my brain was going, now, wait a minute. I thought I just heard her upstairs. I mean, I have to go past the bedroom, go downstairs, go to the kitchen. She couldn't have gotten down here. There's no logical way she could have gotten down here and be in the kitchen talking on the phone. So my brain was kind of going, eh? And I asked her about it, and she looked at me, and she said, you know, she just really didn't acknowledge what I was saying. She didn't dispute it, but she didn't, you know, really acknowledge it. And then she said, well, you know, I when you first walked in, you couldn't really even see me. So she was sort of implying that, you know, somehow she had to make her frequency change so that I could see her, or, you know, kind of left it to my imagination. So I'm going to leave it to everyone else's imagination. But basically she explained to me that she was bilocating, and I know Denisa also spoke about that on one of our radio shows where she had the experience of doing that. So for many of us, these are just becoming more a part of our everyday life. But Almeen is, as usual, leading the pack, leading the way for all of us. I wanted to ask Rohir a question. I wanted to ask both of you this question, actually, but we've been asking on the Gathering of the Light Family show how people first came to study with Almeen. So, Rohir, I'd like to ask you how you first came to study with Almeen and what her teachings have meant in your life.
Okay. Well, it was actually when her first book came out, Life of Miracles, which I believe was in 2001 or 2000, well, actually, I think it's 2002. And I was working in Amsterdam in the Netherlands in a American bookstore, and I was actually the one who was in charge of buying and, you know, for stock a lot of the consciousness esoteric books there. So I read that book, and I was like, okay, well, this is kind of a nice book, and but it wasn't really, I mean, it stood out for me in a kind of, in a way, but not directly because of what was said in it, but more an energy. And actually I had that with the second book, Journey to the Heart of God, as well. But it was, it wasn't like I read it and I was just like totally, like, blown away or whatever. I just thought it was kind of a cool book, and I liked the energy of it. But it was really, I didn't have the idea that I really had to sort of come to class or go meet Almeen. But I remember when Secrets of the Hidden Realms came out, I think, like, 3 years later, and there it hadn't even been published yet, but I could see it for pre-order, and I was immediately grabbed by it without even knowing what was in there. And then when I got the book, I was like, really, really did something, and like the frequency of it was just amazing. And my focus, you know, obviously I wasn't an accident that I was working in the American bookstore, where I pretty much had sort of carte blanche in terms of ordering consciousness books, which of course I did for the store, but I also did it because I wanted to check them out. And what was interesting that, you know, wading through, like, having held thousands and thousands of spirituality and esoteric books, always kind of looking for the one that really sort of does something, and actually being kind of stunned by the kind of mediocrity of it all. But then with her books, it was really like, okay, this is something different, especially the more like Secrets of Hidden Realms and Ring of Truth as well. And it wasn't so much necessarily about the content in there, because it did sort of activate left brain in a way that I was kind of like, you know, could this really be true? And maybe it's just sort of made up, but energetically I could just sense that there was something really unique about the frequency of the book. Although when I would sort of show it to friends, like friends would come in the store and I would sort of say, check this out, or I'd show sort of people, it kind of struck me that often they didn't really know what to do with it. And then they would sort of just sort of put it back and, you know, shrug their shoulders. So eventually I was kind of more selective with who I would sort of pass this on to or not. And eventually I realized that there was a kind of a bell curve in terms of spiritual books, where, you know, on the one hand, at the beginning, you've just got really bad books, and then you've got sort of the main part of the bell is sort of the average books, and then on the other side, you've just got the ones that are too cutting edge for the mainstream. And I realized that was the case with her books, and especially after having seen and touched and certainly scanned many, like so many spiritual books. And then I think when Ring of Truth came out, I was like, okay, now I have to sort of go see her. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the pod in Dublin, which was in June of that year, and this was in January, and I was determined that I was going to make it happen, even though I didn't know how. And then, eventually I was able to arrange to go there. And then the night before the pod, I was like, of course, suddenly grabbed by all this sort of very sort of left brain doubt, because that's sort of been my heritage, so to speak, being very sort of left brain. So I had this thing like, oh no, this is really the moment of truth. What if it's just all nonsense or whatever? But then when I came to pod, it was just amazing, and I was like it was sort of the proof. You know, if the pudding is in the eating, and especially on day three, where it's like, I mean, I've obviously been to a lot of sort of spiritual events and a lot of healings and a lot of sort of obsolete systems sort of being gone through the motions of. So I didn't know that there could be something which actually was very paradigm transcending as an event with Almin. And I remember on day three that she did a kind of a blessing on us, and also on me. But later she said that she also removed something, like a kind of a block in my heart area, my heart chakra. And whatever it was, I remember just feeling like there was this sort of, like something had been opened up, and that it was just this beam going through me. And you can actually see photos of myself in that day, that there's like this sort of, for the first time, like these sort of almost, you can almost see beams coming out of my eyes. And that was really the moment of liberation for me. And then I was like, how could anyone think anything else is more interesting? Because clearly it's not. And this is really... this is where it's at. And then from there on, and the rest is history. And of course, I realize now, though, that Almin's methodology for the past year has been very much to attract the sort of very sort of, well, what we've just called Apex Lightwork community, which I think really means sort of the ones most attracted to system busting, and the ones who are also best able to withstand sort of getting their belief systems shredded on a regular basis. But
yeah,
so it's not like I think that's an important thing to make, an important point to make about the teachings of Almin, that it's not like she's somehow that there's this kind of a niche and that this is kind of what she does, and it's kind of, I mean, it's cutting edge, but it's also kind of obscure and it's quote-unquote out there. It's not that she has to do that in the sense that it's the only thing she can do. It's just what she had to do for the past years because that was her mission. And I think what we're seeing now essentially is where, I mean, I can't say this, I think, officially, but I do sense that there's a sort of a movement where Almin is, in a way, retreating more and with, for example, well, the three of us really, like Paul with Twitter and we, well, and you with the blog and myself with Facebook, getting more into a dynamic where I think a sort of a larger, sort of larger light worker community is attracted simply because she doesn't necessarily need to focus on attracting the very sort of core anymore because they're here already. So, yeah, I just want to make clear.
No, thank you for bringing that Facebook piece in, because, like, the Wisdom Twitter, it is attracting a really diverse group of people. And I know I was on the blog, and it has changed its look. It's almindiary.com is the website, but you can go on there and look, and there's a link for Facebook, and there's a link for Wisdom Twitter, but it's got a beautiful new look, and it's got a different feel to it also. It's more about, different topics that are not, they have a depth, but it's almost like a depth that you don't see maybe right at the beginning. You might not think it's so esoteric or so metaphysical or a deep teaching, but it's abundance principles and relationship and self-empowerment. There's lots of different topics, themed sort of topics, but you could read one sentence of Almin's and it would last you for months to, I mean, even that is a confining statement, but there's so much more to it than what might appear on the surface. So there are teachings that people are hungry for, and I think it'll well serve people to check that out. I want to ask from Val the same question. How did you come to study with Almin? And I know for you, I think that you've also had an expansion of, I know you're taking interdimensional photography and interested in that, and I know you work with alchemy. So those are some gifts that have maybe been there already but may have developed more through your study with Almin. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I'll do my best. I'll try and keep it succinct as well, because I'm not very good at this linear stuff these days. I've when I was a child, I said to my mother, I want to be an angel when I grow up. That was pretty difficult to do, I found out, when I became a teenager. I went through an interesting life, but I'd actually started doing meditation when I was 15 years old, with, you know, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi system of transcendental meditation. And then in recent years, you know, I've moved from Liverpool to Amsterdam in the Netherlands. Funnily enough, I didn't know Rogier at the time. So, you know, the two of us were, you know, at some stage a few years ago, we were both in the same city, not aware of each other's divine causes, you see. A couple of years ago, I started going through some transformations. You know, the Maharishi was reaching the point where he was going into nirvikalpa samadhi, or, you know, the great sleep, which is no sleep at all. It's you know, back into the ocean of consciousness. And I felt like he left me with a very tall ladder. And I think if people, you know, understand the value of spiritual, work of the soul, it's a matter of moving with fluidity all the time. A teacher can get you so far in life, but then the infinite is going to bump you up to the next rung for your next lesson. If you keep on hanging on to the same wisdom, the same precepts, the same movements, if you like, the same asanas. There is a certain universality about it, but the what I'm looking at here is, what I'm trying to explain is that we have to let go. You know, we have to empty the vessel in order to replenish it with the new flux of life. Okay, so I started becoming very fascinated in the star races. I started doing the Merkaba, which is part of the Flower of Life, the Drumvalo teachings, Melchizedek teachings. And a couple of years ago, I started going to the American Book Center, and I was checking out all these books on channeling, stuff from the Hathors and Ramsar. And, you know, Ragir had actually left for America at this point. So, he sort of left out the back door. I came in through the front door of the American Book Center, looking for something which was going to satiate my appetite for what was happening with the ascension process. Now, one of the masters, Femke, was working at the American Book Center. She's studied under Almi, and I remember saying to her one day, "I'm looking for something which has got information from the star races." And she pointed out to some of Almin's books on the shelf there, and I was immediately hit by the artwork, combination of Native American Indians and unicorns, and this getting inside the first pages where, I was seeing mythology come to life. What seemed to be like dream-spun entities such as unicorns and angels. Here was languages which were resonating with me. I remember going up to Femke at the desk. She had a line of people waiting to buy books. And I was saying to Femke, "Hey, this book by Army is full of fairy squiggles. What am I going to do with it,
What am I going to do with this? I'm going to photograph them."
I was winding her up because I just knew. She giggled a bit. She gave me that look like, "Wait, let me serve these guys first, and I'll give you a heads up on that one," Essentially, I felt like suddenly I was reading a personal invitation. It's Secrets of the Hidden Realms. This is the book that also got Ruhir's interest as well. This book seemed like a personal invitation to me. It was almost like the pages were glistening with ink that had just been written by Armin. It was like, "Come on over to America. Come and join us." I'm really trying to condense a very long story here, Jan. But it was a thrill to engage in this vast. What Ragir was saying before, Ragir was a great student at Amsterdam University studying philosophy. Here he is at the best bookshop in town in the spiritual department. And, what a compliment that is. Out of all those works, he was actually brought to the pinnacle, which was Almin's work, So yeah. We both hit upon that in a wonderful way. I wanted to just mention a little experience I had along the way, because after reading the book, I decided to go to the first workshop in Dublin, a 5-day workshop. I think that was in May. And then I went back again in August to do the second workshop, and this is before the time that I was moving my whole recording studio from the Netherlands over to America. And first day in the morning, Almin was her usual Supergirl self. She was just it was a time that she was bringing in the wheels of the goddess and alchemy for the first time. And there was a couple ladies next to me. I'm trying to remember. It was Tan, and I can't remember the other girl's name. Can you perhaps give me some guidance on this, Jan? The ladies from Malaysia.
Oh, I wasn't at that one. I wasn't at that pod. Was it Jen or
Pam's daughter was right. Oh, yeah, Jen.
Anyway.
Okay, yeah, Jen was right next to me. It was her first morning in Armin's workshop, the first workshop. And It was around about 11 o'clock, and she was elbowing me and saying, Paul, look at this, look at this. And she showed me what she was writing down on the piece of paper. All these wonderful sigils, which I recognized that looked like angel sigils. And I said, oh, Jen, this is remarkable. You're actually channeling the angel kingdom right now. I mean, it's, you know, this is a business lady. She's come up from Malaysia. She's never met Palming before. She's running a Swarovski crystal shop in Penang. You know, it's, you know, for her, it's just like, what is going on here? But she was totally relaxed and starry-eyed at the same time and showing me this like a kid gushing, like, look what I can do, you know? So I said, quickly, show it to Almin. And sure enough, Almin saw it, and she identified it as angel glyphs and sigils. And she actually translated them on the spot. And there was a teaching, there was a value to these sigils at the time, which helped us with what was happening in the workshop, you know? And I thought, that's how it is when you're working with Almin. Things are just, it's not just coming through her as the epicenter, but we're also connecting like little satellites, and we're all bringing stuff to the surface, which is adding to the benefits of the ascension and the guidance thereof.
It's very empowering. I know, and Almin is so quick to acknowledge, you know, that others are bringing this information through and assisting them. I know one of the first times I went to class with her, she said one of the benefits of studying with someone is they can just validate for you your journey, you know, of self-growth and mastery. And it's really something that she does so well and so generously by just freely sharing her information. People come in class, just like you said with Jen, who've never been in a class before. They start drawing these amazing things. They start speaking a language. They start, one of our sisters in Florida asked for the gift of being able to photograph interdimensionally. Antara, who's a beautiful sister, and her photos are, many of them, on Aruba Farina. And she just immediately started being able to do it. I mean, these are not things that happen routinely in most people's lives. Paul took some people, not myself, when we were in Newport at class, took some people on an adventure to photograph interdimensionally. And I'm not sure how successful that was, but he's been quite successful at capturing some images. So it's like this journey just brings so much richness, you know, to our lives and our experiences. I'm going to wind up the show and thank you both for joining us tonight from Baal, and we're here. And I really enjoyed hearing your personal experiences. We don't always get to talk about that. I want to mention that Almin's main website is www.spiritualjourneys.com, and that's a really great place to go and find any information that you want about Almin, whether it's her class schedule, whether it's the home page has a beautiful graphic on the front of all of the institutes and academies that's been designed by Rahir, very visually beautiful, but also packed with information. So you can click on any one of those: Institute of Human Potential, Institute of Applied Mysticism, or Academy of Alchemy, and it will take you to a further website where there's direct information about any of the online classes. Also, there's a site for angelsoundhealing.com right there on that Spiritual Journeys page. A very helpful feature on that page is where to begin studying with Almin. There's a link over on the top left-hand side of the homepage. Also, the schoolofarcana.org site has the same link, and it's an alphabetized list of topics, subjects, whatever you might be interested in. If you want to look up, it'll lead you to a website, it'll lead you to a book, it'll lead you to information about that particular topic. So, anybody have anything else to say before we end our show tonight?
No. I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and bright and beautiful blessings for the new year.
That's a good one. You know, I was thinking about this, it's rather hard for me to even say Merry Christmas because it's not like I'm worried about being politically correct exactly, but it's like I have such a different view of everything, basically, I would say. Would not be an overstatement. Okay. So anyway, happy winter holidays to everyone, and thank you for joining us tonight. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. Please join us again next week.